we're trying to get an even-handed resolution. We, and the French and the British, are in tandem on this. But they're trying to dilute the resolution to a point where the PACs will not accept it. And of course, our object here is to get a ceasefire, to get peace, not to play political games. At the moment, I am locked up with them on the terms of this resolution. Trying to keep all our, you know, all our ducks in a row to get this done. We have a key paragraph. We got an agreement on everything. On a demand for a ceasefire, a warning to the Chinese.
I'm going to ask Clark Clifford to get on here just a minute. Go ahead. Go ahead, officer.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah.
All that we're in agreement on. Then we have a paragraph which we had in their agreement on this morning, but they're backing away from because the Indians object. It says, the council decides to consider as soon as the ceasefire has been implemented, what steps could be taken to assist towards a settlement of the underlying political problem, and in the meantime calls on the two governments to use all peaceful means towards a settlement. Now, what they have objected into the thing is...
They just want it to be ceasefire, and then... period, and then they want them to come to Moscow, don't they?
Hello?
I say what they want to do, the Russians, to just call for ceasefire, and then get them into Moscow and work it out.
Yeah, see, and we are trying to keep it here to say what steps the council should take.
Sure, that's right.
Of the underlying political problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And what they are trying to object is what steps the council should take to assist the two countries towards a settlement of the political problem, see? And the nuance, what's involved there is that they want to limit the role of the UN to assist the direct negotiations.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Well, the purpose of that, I think, would be so that they could conduct them themselves.
Oh, yes. They'd say that they could help it, or else Security Council, if the parties didn't behave, couldn't order an embargo, or couldn't stop shipments, which the Security Council has a right to under the Charter.
We have one problem there right now that's right facing. I've got to make up my mind whether I'm going to send about $35 million a month and give away food to India, and if I do, I've got to continue it to Pakistan.
Yes.
It runs about $475 million, about 475 million people, and it involves about 1 million tons for every 2 months. I think that we oughtn't to be shipping munitions or food or anything else to them while they're in this difficulty. And then furthermore, I think that until they come here and we sit down and have an agreement, Indians got 470 million worth of reserves, and there's no reason why they can't pay for their wheat if they can pay for munitions. And I just, Napoleon said an army fights on its belly, and I don't see any reason for doing it, although the State Department, all the people want us to just continue to give away. They say there'll be a bunch of riots if we don't. Well, I think it might be, I don't know whether we got an obligation the rest of our lives just to ship them 10% of what they eat or not without even having an agreement or discussions or tying in any alliance or be sure it's serving our national interest. They say, well, if you don't, they'll go to Russia. Well, Well, I think it might be a good thing if Russia did a little of it for a while. I don't think they're about to. I don't think she would. I don't think the Russian people, the trouble they have in their crops and buying from Canada and everybody else, or China, I don't think they or China either are about to get into the thing. And I think we, whatever influence we have, wouldn't be dissipated anyway by our just jumping in. But they're pressing me a good deal, and I got to make a decision in the next few hours.
Well, I think, Mr. President, what's happening down here is that the Russians are playing a political game. They severely again, for us, nearly again, to declare for a ceasefire. We've done it twice, and it hasn't been complied with.
Yeah.
And now what we are saying to them is that we've got to put some teeth in there.
Yeah.
If this organization is to be effective.
Yeah.
And we've got to say to the parties, and we've got to recognize that the United Nations again has to look at the Kashmir situation. That is what has caused this business to break out.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indians, of course, are very adverse to anybody looking at the Kashmir. So we've gone, in this paragraph, we've gone a little bit towards recognizing that there is a legitimate grievance here which ought to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Just that how it has to be decided.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some countries here, like the French, who say, well, it ought to be decided the way it was decided a long time ago, by a principle of self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm trying to hold the French in line, the French are leaning very much the Pakistani way in this thing, all the way over.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to expound Pakistan's position here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians are now leaning all the way over on the Indian side. What I'm attempting to do here is to try and gather together the fair-minded countries and take a equal-handed position.
Mm-hmm.
We have support, but now the Russians are grandstanding and they say, all right, we go ahead with your resolution, but we will abstain on this paragraph. We won't veto it, see? We will abstain on this paragraph. If they abstain on this paragraph, they're heroes in India, see? And cheap heroes. They've given the Indians some language. Well, I don't want to make them cheap heroes.
Therefore.
So that I got to, I've got to struggle along. And at the present moment, we don't seem to be satisfying either party.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the role you play when you're even-handed.
Yeah.
And you're even-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we ought to leave an even-handed position. I think the virtue of our position is that we are even-handed. And we're trying to be fair to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have been doing is to present an even-handed position, which neither side's going to applaud. But on the other hand, neither side can say it's loaded against the other.
What do you think we ought to... ship $35-40 million of food a month?
I wouldn't cut off food right now, but I would have it in the background.
Well, it's a question whether I extend it or not.
Pardon?
It's a question of whether I extend it or not.
Yes.
They can buy all they want to, but
yes.
Now the question is whether my food's out. All I've approved is gone.
Yes. How long does that go, Mr.
Sanders? It goes 2 months from July the 27th.
2 months?
From July the 27th.
I would reserve that decision. See how they behave. And
well, it'll interrupt the pipeline if you don't decide it in the next few hours.
I would not cut it off at the moment, because that would look like we're putting on pressure in the humanitarian area. I'd rather we cut off the arms. I'll tell you frankly what I'd rather cut off than food. Petroleum. Our oil companies that are keeping these tanks and planes flying on both sides. I'd rather cut off petroleum. That would bring this war to an end. That's there, this petroleum is coming with tankers from British and American petroleum sources. They don't have any. They don't have any oil. You can bring, unless I'm dead wrong, but you can bring this war to an end a lot closer by having someone now look at the petroleum supply than you can on the food. Without getting the outbreak that'll come by the people saying you're not a humane person.
Well, I'm humane, but I don't have to feed the world. I'll sell them anything they want to buy.
Yeah.
But I haven't got any inherent or constitutional requirement I know of to furnish it to them ad infinitum.
No, I think that's true.
On July the 27th, I said, now I'll give you 1 million tons extra, which will give you 2 months. And you come here, and then we'll talk about our national interest and your national interest. Now, that 2 months is up September the 27th. This is September the 19th. And of that 1 million tons that I gave them on July 27th, 630,000 have been shipped to India. The balance will be shipped next month. But additional wheat must be authorized for purchase now if the flow through the pipeline is not to be interrupted, since it takes at least 10 days to 2 weeks to contract for the wheat, an additional month for ocean transport. We're therefore in a position where a delay beyond 4 or 5 more days and authorizing extension of PL-480 shipments would mean a break in the supply line and a shortfall of supplies later this fall.
Well, I would say on that, give me a couple more days then.
All right, Clark, you won't tell him how you feel about that.
No.
Clark?
Yes, this is Clark Clifford-Ard.
Yes, Clark.
I've been over the State Department memorandum with some care.
Yes.
And it seems to me that historically they're always suggesting either new aid or the continuation of some old aid.
Yes.
And I think under the circumstances when these two countries are engaged in this reckless military adventure, it isn't very sensible for us just to go right on supplying India and selling to Pakistan. It seems to me that it is a proper means by which we could exert some appropriate leverage. And I think either that there could be a cessation of the shipments to India, or there could either be a month's notice to the Indian leaders that we're going to have to reevaluate the situation, that we're not disposed at all to continue with this, insofar as they seem to be ignoring the possibilities of the terrible dangers of this reckless military adventure they're engaged in.
But I want to point something out, Clark. The Indians have, in effect, accepted the ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's the PACs we're having trouble with at the moment.
Yes.
And therefore, we would not be warranted, since they have accepted a ceasefire. They have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And our initiative at the moment must be directed against the Pakistanis.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order to get the PACs, and that's precisely our trouble down here today. We are trying to get the Pakistanis to accept the ceasefire. And in order to get acceptance from them, I'm trying to get a little bit in the resolution of recognition of their equity. They have an equity. I'm Kashmir.
That's right, they got it.
You see?
Indians don't want any ceasefire, though, if you mention Kashmir, do they?
But the Indians have accepted. We could see if we get this resolution through. I wouldn't whether they weaken this man. But so far, they have told the Secretary General that despite the fact they don't want Kashmir discussed, they are accepting a ceasefire. Now, we would soon know, if we get this resolution through, whether that acceptance is firm, because we're going to ask in this resolution, if if we can get it through. We're a 48-hour joint ceasefire. And then we will be able to see which country it is.
Well, we can wait 2 or 3 days, and we will. I see Roland Evans says this morning
right. That
you got Roosevelt unloaded on you, that you haven't got anything to do with this policy. And but, your friend Roland Evans.
What does he say?
Damn if he don't indict you.
Mark, I can't hear you.
I said Roland Evans will really indict you.
What does he say about
hand me that paper over there, Bird.